Welcome to Spiritual Grit, the podcast where we talk real talk about spirituality through the lens of activism and social justice. What happens when activism and spiritual practices collide? What sparks of change call for the grit we need to create meaningful strides in social justice? I'm your host, Leslie Ann Hobayan, poet, priestess, activist, professor, hip-hop dancer, and badass mama. Join me as we dive in to learn more about our deepest selves so that we can be better ancestors to create a stellar world for our descendants. Grab your dancing shoes and let's get groovy with the grit right now. Hello, loves. Welcome to another episode of Spiritual Grit. How are you on this amazing day? Amazing because you are here. You are listening to this podcast. You are breathing. You are alive. And so because of that and that alone, it is amazing. Dun, dun, dun. So yes, I have been in end of the semester craziness, and I'm sort of on the other side of that now. I am back after a best of episode last week and feeling kind of just a little lighter, a little clearer in the mind because I was able to complete all of the end of the year stuff for me, as well as have some time to rest and restore with one of my dear friends, Veronica. And so now we are back and ready to go. As you know, I have been talking very actively about the genocide that's happening in Palestine. As an activist and, you know, social justice worker and a spiritualist, I cannot ignore what is happening. I can't not talk about it. And so what I find happening is that when I am moving through my life, inevitably there is some tie back to Palestine. For example, Mother's Day was this past Sunday, and I felt all kinds of complicated feelings. I was so glad to have time to spend with my kids. They are, you know, present in my life. We have a really wonderful relationship. And it felt good to celebrate this day. Also, I was thinking about the mothers in Palestine who have lost their children because they've been killed by Israeli bombs and airstrikes. I'm also thinking about the children who have no mothers because their mothers were also killed. And so there is this holding of both joy and grief at the same time, among other things. And it's important for us to acknowledge the multitude of feelings and emotions that seem to be in opposition to each other, to hold them together because we are complex humans. And so I'm going to pause there for a second because I feel myself wanting to just kind of launch into that. But I do want to offer an oracle card, which I pulled for this episode today. And I pulled it from the Starseed Oracle deck. This card today is Loosen Your Grip. Coping Mechanisms, Density, Addiction, Let God In. So that speaks to me already, and I'll explain why in a second. Okay, so here's what the guidebook says. We're cyclic beings, and Mother Earth teaches us how to be human every day with the coming and going of the tides and the seasons. If you're clinging to anything, you're resisting the natural flow of who you are. The things we cling to are so often those we most need to let go of. The food, the substances, the relationship, the job, the people pleasing. And in this context, the the guidebook is talking about addictions. So the things we cling to often cover up our most vulnerable space, the part we're most afraid to leave empty, the part we guard and don't let grace into. But by keeping that space covered with something that doesn't serve us or clinging to it for fear of it not staying of its own accord, we prevent ourselves from receiving the things that will. A Course in Miracles tells us, quote, Whatever we leave empty, grace will fill. And the Buddha said, quote, you can only lose what you cling to. Indeed, both are true. If this card appears, you're being called to find the courage to loosen your grip and give up control, to release your coping mechanisms and leave space for grace and God to enter, to surrender all that feels dense to the divine. Loosening your grip doesn't mean that what you're clinging to will go away. It may, or it might stay. But you can be sure that what is for you will find you, and you'll breathe easier knowing that you've shifted from relying on your own strength to surrendering to the grace of life. I love that. So the Starseed Oracle, the Starseed Soul Inquiry question is, what are you clinging to for fear of nothing coming to take its place? Let's repeat that question. What are you clinging to for fear of nothing coming to take its place? I'm going to sit with that question after I'm done recording this episode and ponder upon that, and maybe I'll share with you what emerges. So in thinking about loosening our grip, I am relating this for myself in this moment to my activism, to ways in which I am engaging with fighting for a free Palestine. And I believe I spoke about this a couple weeks ago in another episode, where there needs to be a balance between the collective efforts and our navigating our own personal lives. And so I'm wondering if this clinging is me clinging to activist actions and activist ways of being that are preventing me from being present in my own life as an individual, like in my own life as a mom, in my own life as a co-parent, in my own life as a daughter, a friend, you know, whatever it is my focus on activist work taking me away from cultivating those relationships and those roles in my personal life? And, you know, as when I ask questions, there usually aren't answers. It's invitations for inquiry. And so I'm thinking about this and trying to make more space in my brain for that balance between the collective action for the greater good, for social justice, and for cultivating a life that feels nourished, that feels balanced, that feels expansive. And so how do we hold both? How do we do both? And I think it is a matter of allowing to loosen the grip, as the Oracle card has said, to allow for things to unfold as they naturally do. So for example, I'll use my activist work as an example. Instead of me obsessing over, you know, social media posts and getting updates 24/7, maybe I can regulate that to just in the mornings for an hour, you know. And I know that the situation in Rafah in Palestine is ever evolving so rapidly that I would probably miss things. But how can I be of best use for justice? You know, is it to be informed 24/7 and passing that information on to people? No, that's not what's nourishing me. And these are the things that I'm inviting you to tune into as well. Like, yes, we feel passionate about a certain cause or certain actions that we take, but after you complete those actions, do you feel nourished or do you feel drained? So I feel both when I do activist work. And so I think what it is it's a matter of finding that boundary of when the nourishment then becomes an effort of draining, you know, that overextending energy. So really tuning into our bodies and listening to our hearts as far as, okay, what can I do? What feels good? And to trust that whatever it is that we do it matters. No matter how small it seems, it matters, because there is something called the butterfly effect, which I'm sure all of you are familiar with, where a butterfly's wings can change the energy, the frequency, the vibration in the air. And that ripples out to something else, where a tree, it knocks down a tree, you know. So with this in mind, I am thinking about how to balance my activist work with my parenting. Thinking about how much, you know, I teach my children. I teach them, of course. I teach them as much as I can. And when, you know, as they are teenagers, they are less open to receiving information that doesn't come from a teacher. So when I try to give them some knowledge, some information on history and things like that, they kind of yes me to death, and then maybe secretly roll their eyes, I don't know, and kind of just go, yeah, okay, I heard it. And then they move on to the thing that they are doing on their phone or listening to music or whatever it is. And so recently I've been thinking about how far does that sharing of knowledge and wisdom go? You know, like, I can share it, but then do I impose upon them certain ways and actions, certain ways of being and certain actions that they need to take? Or do I present those and invite them to decide for themselves? You know, this is sort of the quandary that I'm navigating through as a parent. Now, as a parent, you are trying to find that, I don't even know how to explain it. It's this, I don't want to say balance, but it's going to be, I hate that word balance. I'm just going to keep using it today, I think. It's finding that balance between guiding them, you know, telling them what to do and giving them, okay, so there's a balance between telling them what to do, you know, like wash your hands after you use the bathroom, to guiding them by asking them questions, to just saying, here are the options and you decide, right? The guidance part would be, here are the options and you really need to do this option, you know, so it looks different. So I'm thinking right now about this call for boycott, blackout. They're calling it Blackout 2024, where users, social media users, are invited to block their favorite celebrities, you know, whether they are pop star artists or, you know, fashion designers or, I don't even know, poets. It's funny because it started with the Met Gala, and the tone deafness of it was really appalling, where you've got $75,000 a ticket to attend, and then you've got like all of this high fashion, ooh, what are people going to wear to this thing? And on the same day, Rafah is being bombed. People are being killed. And so what's happening now is this movement, this invitation to block these people, these celebrities who, you know, seem to not acknowledge or care that there was a bombing, that people were being killed at the same time that they're hanging out in front of the paparazzi. So the one of the people that went to the Met Gala are a group of a boy band that my daughters, you know, are big fans of. And my youngest was getting a little upset about the call for the boycott. And I said to her, well, you know, people are being killed and we're really trying to bring attention to that. And she's like, well, it's not their fault. And, you know, they're being, you know, they have a contract to honor and they need to do this, this, and this. And I said, I know that. And they have plenty of money to donate to help fight, you know, for social justice, or even just to donate to those groups who are trying, operative word is trying, to provide humanitarian aid. But no one spoke of Palestine, no one spoke of Gaza, no one spoke of Rafah, and everyone just carried on like normal. And that's not okay. And so I'm telling her this, but she's, you know, she's getting upset about it. She doesn't want to talk about it. She wants to change the subject. And I'm like, okay, you know, we can change the subject. But I, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, how far do I take this? Do I let her learn on her own the impact that this is making of not speaking out against genocide because it just allows it to happen? Do I make her feel bad and have her boycott the boy band that she loves? You know, so these are some questions that I'm asking, because as a teenager, you know, different things are very important to you, and not everyone is as woke, as socially conscious as some of the kids that you're seeing in mainstream media. And most, you know, most kids are going to be like, you know what, this is my life. This is who I love. These are the bands I love. This is the music I love. And that's it. Like, that's all I want. I don't want to think about what's happening in a world halfway across the world. I don't want to know what, you know, what my American dollars are doing or not doing. You know, I'm just a kid. I'm just living my life. And so I'm trying to honor that while also educating. And it's really hard for me because I want to tell her, okay, you need to boycott all these people, blah, 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 and block them, etc. And this is what we're going to do. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that until these people, you know, either help with humanitarian aid or they divest from, you know, these companies that are supporting Zionism, you know, and then where does that leave me? It leaves me with a resentful kid who may never talk to me again, you know? And so this is what comes back into focus, is that balance between the personal and the collective. So thinking about, okay, what best serves my relationship with my daughter? Giving information, telling her what to do, not so much. You know, we all know when you tell a teenager what to do, they tend to do the opposite. So I am just raising questions, giving some information, and allowing her to decide, you know, allowing for her to see what happens when she makes a decision, you know, to see what the cause and effect is of decisions, like in real time when it comes to global shifts that are happening, whether, you know, we feel them in our daily lives or not. So this is what I am trying to figure out as far as the parenting aspect goes. But we can stretch this out into the everyday, you know, where we can do our part as activists to support a free Palestine and to, you know, demand an end to genocide and live our individual lives. So, but that what I'm noticing is that it's becoming more challenging because there are people in our individual lives who are not fully aligned or not at the place that we're at. For example, like, let's say, you know, super activist, really engaged, really involved, and they're friends with somebody who is, you know, all for social justice, but not consider themselves an activist, right? And so it's okay, you know, friend A, who's the activist, A for activist, is like, okay, it's fine. That's their choice. You know, everyone's different. Everyone has their own mode of being involved and however they need to be involved. And it's fine. It's cool. We get to talk. We get to hang out. We connect on other things. Awesome. We are aligned in our politics. Great. But then this genocide is really pressing people to an edge that they are not comfortable with. It's pushing people to really decide, how far are you going to commit to freedom for Palestine? Because if you're not committed to that, if you're not committed to the end to genocide, then you are allowing for genocide to happen. And those who are social, like aligned in the fight for social justice, but don't want to really commit to protesting genocide, then I'm like, wait, what? Hold on a second. Wait, what? Okay. I don't know. So what I'm seeing is the extent of people's comfort levels. You know, I'm seeing their growth edges and how people are deciding to stay in their comfort zone, to not expand, to not take that leap into growth and evolution. And so this is the spiritual part of it, right? It's we're being asked to decide. Are you going to do everything that you can to stop the killing of people? Or are you going to turn away, look away, pretend nothing is happening? Because we're at a point where we can't do both. We can't just say, yeah, I'm all for a free Palestine, but do I have to give up these other comforts? There's too much that's been documented for us to feign ignorance. And so for the spiritual part, it's this is the invitation. This is what we're being asked. Are you going to stand up for humanity? Are you going to fight for humanity? Or are you going to allow for very wounded people to continue to destroy and decimate people and the planet? And if you are, then you're done. You're not going to grow. You're not going to evolve. And what's the point of that then? You know, I hope I'm making sense, because I feel very frustrated by some people in my life who I was like, yeah, we're on the same page. We are activists together. We are all for social justice. And lately, I have been seeing the limits of their activism. I've been seeing like, oh no, we stop here. This is the line where we stop. We're not gonna do that. We're not gonna put ourselves out there like that. And I see that and I'm like, wow, okay. That's where we're at. Okay, now I have to, you know, rethink the relationship. Because if you're asking me to vote for the guy who's funding genocide, that, first of all, that's a hard no, right? And I'm just like, wow, I can't. Like, really, what? I'm confused. You know, and so a lot of people are starting to really reveal who they are over the last 7 months. It's really astounding to me. And I thought I was pretty much sort of at the tapering off of the shedding, the great shedding, as a friend of mine likes to call it. But I think I'm still doing a bit more shedding. And soon I may not have any more local friends. I don't know. We'll see. But it really comes down to, what are we doing in this lifetime if not to care for each other, if not to protect each other, if not to love each other and help each other grow and evolve, right? Otherwise, why are we here? So for me, I am looking at that balance between the everyday, you know, parenting, friendships, connections, through the lens of activism, looking at how the genocide is really affecting and influencing all of our decisions, all of our ways of being, whether they're conscious decisions or not, whether our ways of being are conscious or not. There is a collective shift in frequency. And it's almost like just shaking a bunch of marbles in a bag and then rolling them out and then see where they align. And then the lining up of the marbles is starting to shift again because the table upon which the marbles are is shifting. And so which marbles are going to be attracted to each other? Which ones are going to roll away from the other because they're no longer in alignment? So this is what I have to offer for you today, my friends. Thinking about what our priorities are, what we are committed to, what is our sacred practice in this commitment. You know, I think about how much I am committed to writing as my sacred practice, and that how that has helped me evolve, that has helped me to integrate and to mitigate my migraines, for example. And it helps me get focused and get clear on how we navigate this crazy time right now. Yeah. So that's it. All right, friends. I hope something came of this that you felt a resonance or a light bulb or some kind of alignment came for you. And I'm going to close this. What is this poem by Hafez? Daniel Ladinsky does these translations of Hafez's poetry, and I just sometimes crack up by it. So this one's called "I Hope You Won't Sue This Old Man." "I have nothing to say, for God has taken his sharp knife and completely hollowed me. Yet a mysterious wind comes by and moves the invisible. I enter your soul. Your beauty, dear pilgrims, startles me, causes my spirit's foot to slip against one of your lute strings on your heart." Then Hafez just translates the cries of your love as if they were my own words. "I hope you won't sue this drunk old man for that." All right, friends, and on that note, the divine light in me bows to the divine light in you. Until next time, namaste.
If you're feeling like fighting the good fight is bringing you down and hope is starting to fade, grab my free 7-day meditative challenge, Spark Joy in Chaos, by signing up for my newsletter, which will be more light to your inbox. Go to suryagyan.com/subscribe.